Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The same could be said right now between leagues, because I think if you tie together every move made during what was a record-setting NBA trade deadline, I'm still not sure it's going to hit quite like the NFL did this afternoon. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We'll have Jordan Cornette, our ACC Hoops analyst, getting you ready for the tournament this weekend. The Sweet 16 going off. Some big matchups there. Field Yates going to stop by, who was a part of breaking some of the news around the NFL, Janae, that we saw. Because you know how it is. We sit around every day, for anyone that's not aware, and we all get on the horn together. We Zoom meet like everybody else at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon and start to put together, all right, things that we're interested in, guests we're going to have on the show. And right in the middle of that meeting, as we're sitting and thinking, all right, maybe we'll break down more of the NBA trade deadline from yesterday, which we'll still get to, Adam Schefter decides to go out here and choose
bomb.
Violence.
Bomb.
On the timeline. It might not be a Woj bomb. I don't know what Schefties are technically called, but we had the tweet from Adam Schefter filed to ESPN.
Signal.
The Schefter signals.
Schefty signal.
Schefty signals?
Like the bat signal, you know?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Oh, we do need to get like the picture of the lamp shooting up into the skyline with some sort of now Adam Schefter logo.
Ladies and gentlemen, now I'm speaking his language, taking him to the cartoon universes of DC Comics and Marvel. So yeah. See what gets you going.
We gotta get a little nerdy around here every once in a while. My brand of nerdy just kinda skews more that direction. But if we're gonna get nerdy, it's time for Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, because this is a lot to digest, but essentially we had a big blockbuster afternoon full of trades, and it started with this, per Adam Schefter. The Dolphins were trading their number 3 overall pick in the draft to the San Francisco 49ers. They would get the 12th pick in return and a 2021 third-round pick, which ended up actually being a 2022 third-round pick. They would also get first-round picks in 2022 and 2023. So a huge haul for the Dolphins in that spot. And so we're already thinking, wow, okay, the Dolphins moving back, San Francisco moving up, this is pretty wild, changes the draft outlook in both ways for both of these teams. Then we get another update from Adam Schefter that now the Eagles are trading their 6th overall pick to those Dolphins for that 12th pick and a 2022 first round pick, the Dolphins' own 2022 first round pick. There was also a late round pick swap. And so, Chinee, as
whoa,
it
no,
sits.
No. Don't ask me. Simplify that, because you had a lot of picks and a lot of teams. So, simplify that, please.
That is where we are getting to now in here. So, essentially, what this boils down to as you look at the 2021 draft coming up here, San Francisco is now sitting at the 3rd overall pick in the draft here. The Miami Dolphins are now sitting at the 6th overall pick in the draft. They have also got subsequent first-round picks in upcoming drafts. And the Eagles are now sitting at the 12th pick in the 2021
draft. There you go.
Draft.
Thank you for all of us.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where we are at this draft today, because I think we can get into a lot of the minutiae at some point. But looking at this spot, we have a couple of very clear messages that come out of this. And I think first and foremost now is San Francisco's ready to go pick their quarterback of the future, and they are apparently comfortable with any of the options outside of Trevor Lawrence and the assumed Zach Wilson at that 2nd overall pick.
Exactly. And I think you had a perfectly timed point yesterday saying, hey guys, when are we going to start talking about Justin Fields? When will he enter the chat? And I think you were a Miss Cleo, and that was a precursor to where we are today. Or maybe you're just really tight with Schefty and he like dropped you a tip on that signal. But yeah, I think when I heard about this happening, and this was in the middle of our show meeting, I was like, okay, the Kyle Shanahan system now is plug and play for any quarterback potentially, and maybe that's the direction that they're heading. The part that was intriguing to me was Miami now reclaiming that 6th pick, correct, Junior? Because yep. Now we know that there's going to be a number of quarterbacks. I mean, like you said, outside of Trevor Lawrence and then potentially Zach Wilson, you've got Justin Fields, you've got Trey Lance, Mac Jones in the mix. How interested are they with that 6th pick after that news came through? I'm curious to see what Miami does there.
Yeah, so I think this is a really part of the genius, because I saw a lot of people were confused by why Miami would move back up in that spot.
But exactly.
You got to look at this and think what essentially happened, and I saw I believe it was Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus, kind of framed it like this. Miami just acquired a first-round pick and a third-round pick to move down three spots in the draft, where now for them, what's going to be available, Chiné, are weapons, potentially. Because this tells us, all right, they're not worried about getting one of those quarterbacks, all that conversation around Tua potentially moving on. Tua appears very safe right now. But who is in the mix right there are all of the premier weapons that we talk about in the draft right now, whether it's Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, or Kyle Pitts, the four main weapons, or Penei Sewell, who could still be in the mix depending on what happens with the Bengals and some other teams right there. So, Chiné, I look at this and say the Dolphins have won the day. When we look at this group right here, they have secured a spot to still get either premier protection or a weapon for their young quarterback in Tua, and they've got a backstop of a first-round pick in next year's draft should everything go to hell in a handbasket.
So, I agree. The Dolphins have won the day. They've seen enough of Tua, and obviously we know with Fitzmagic now gone, like there are decisions that have been sort of the writing on the wall that gets us to the point where we are today. So the Dolphins excited about that, right? On the other side, how do you feel about San Francisco? Because clearly this puts a little bit pressure on what they deal with Jimmy G. And I know you're in Connecticut right now, so a lot of people have personal feelings out there.
Oh yeah,
when it comes to that quarterback.
I joke. It was a really bad joke, but I joke. You don't even have to do the jersey edit for Jimmy G. We've got plenty of old Patriot photos that you can throw up there if you're interested right now.
You're so shady.
I can't help myself sometimes. But this becomes interesting because Adam Schefter also tweeted that the Niners made it very clear that they plan on having Jimmy G in the building there still, that it's sort of the Josh Rosen, he's our guy tweet from Arizona a couple years ago, where you say it and no one really believes it in that spot. Diana Rossini, our ESPN NFL insider, was on earlier today on Get Up before any of this happened and talked about just that, the possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo back in New England.
Just recently, I was talking to somebody in the league who I really trust, who's got good information. He said, do not take the Jimmy Garoppolo trade off the table. That is something New England is still sniffing out. Bill doesn't like to put his cards out on the table, so most think, oh, well, if we all know about that, that probably won't happen. But there is definitely a tone in the league that it could still go down.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. It's Chiné Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio after a day of blockbuster NFL trades that leaves the San Francisco 49ers at 3 overall, the Dolphins at 6 overall, and the Eagles down at the 12th pick. And Chiné, she just mentioned Bill Belichick's been on a spending spree all offseason. He is going out and taking what he wants, so it wouldn't be shocking in the least to see him go and grab the guy that he used to love back in the day.
I know. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of people put questions on, like, Cam and, like, you know, his role. But having you noticed his shift in personality, he was the Superman for a long time and had that confidence that a lot of people tend to confuse with arrogance. But now in New England, it's sort of like, hey, whatever keeps my job safe, keeps me relevant, keeps me ready to be there and available when it comes to game time. There's no, I think, public expectation for him to have to be QB1. And so now opening up the doors of that possibility makes things really interesting. But like you said, I mean, it could be, we heard those same type of lines coming out of the New York Jets, right? Like, Sam's our guy. That's what we're thinking. But like, we all know it's not done or until everything is legitimately said and done. So these moves make things interesting. And I love how rich this quarterback draft is on top of how much quarterback movement there is as well. So I think I mean, when's the last time you've had an offseason where it's this volatile for so many moving pieces? And these are key pieces, Junior. It's just been a doozy.
Where we've seen all these mock drafts with five quarterbacks in the first 9 and sometimes the first 4 picks going quarterback, Chiné, that is looking more and more likely as the days pass by. So there is some action on that out there if people are inclined to look and potentially wager on such things.
Oh, gosh, you're still there.
You can find pretty good odds on the first 4 picks being quarterbacks right now. Lord knows some of us are looking. But Chiné, coming up in a little bit, I want to get to, I think there's one factor in all this, a subtext to this conversation, specifically around two of the teams that made moves today, about why this time makes even more sense if you really look at it. But we know we had some version of the NFL's trade deadline, it felt like, today after the NBA trade deadline came and went yesterday. But we saw a ton of moves, more moves made than any other offseason in the last 35 years, any other trade deadline, excuse me, in the last 35 years, but none by the Lakers. How concerned should Lakers fans be with what's looming in the West? We'll ask that next. Chiné Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiné Ngola Jr., the podcast.
blockbuster trades and madness hadn't even started yet. We get that tomorrow. Jordan Cornette, our ESPN college basketball analyst, does a great job of the ACC net. Going to stop by in about 10 minutes. Get us right for this weekend coming up. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And we've got a weird dynamic on this show because as Chenan is ramping up for the WNBA season coming up, getting ready for what's going on with the Los Angeles Sparks, we see her putting out videos on Instagram, showing off the shot a little bit. And so everyone's in here during the break. Me, Cliff, Devin, our producer, who's been around here from time to time. We're looking during the break and we're complimenting the jump shot. But it then immediately goes back to Chenay just wanting to get us all on the court at some point in time post-vaccine and body us. Like, Chenay, you're not going to be satisfied until you get to wash us all in person, right?
Look, I think this is the reason why you guys are staying in Connecticut and I'm here in Los Angeles. Like, we could do social distance shows out here. And so I feel like you're using the bosses as an excuse to not catch the smoke. I would be all of you guys playing by myself.
I would say I believe you, but Devin and Cliff both routinely play basketball around here. And Chenay, what this devolved into is Devin just walking around our studio, because we talked about this the other day. Brian Scalabrine and that video of him working over some high school kid who was talking junk in the gym. And all Devin keeps saying over and over again is, he would beat me, but I wouldn't get disrespected.
Listen, he would put up points and he would win, but I'm not getting pushed around like that kid did.
That kid did get
bullied. He absolutely got pushed around.
You don't realize it's not happening. In real life, Devin, when you stand up next to Scalabrine, you are the kid. That's you.
Listen, he'll try to push, but like we said in the break, I will take charges and I will call him. I will go, "Net, it's my ball. Let's go."
You can't call charges.
Bro, this is ridiculous. Devin will get smoked in an instant. Scalabrine has like a foot on Devin and like 300 pounds. So Devin has no chance.
He's the kind of dude that would be getting smoke and then catch a cramp. Oh, man, my hammy. Have to get airlifted out.
Well, Chenay, you brought up the one I really want to see here, and we will get to the Lakers and their upcoming season in a second. I promise. But Chenay has proposed this, and I want to speak it loud so our bosses hear it. Once we're all vaccinated and travel's not an issue, Chenay wants Monica McNutt and her versus Cliff and Devin. And I'm willing to clear out this time slot on ESPN Plus. Me and Freddie Coleman will call the game and we will make this 2-on-2 happen for the Plus audience. You won't have to pay UFC prices for this. We'll give it to you for the free.
Monica and I will be wearing heels, okay? That'll be even better.
Wherever you want to play, we're ready. We're not losing. Step back jumpers. Defend that.
Dear God.
I've got like a foot on you, Devin. Like, I know it's been some time. You haven't seen me in a minute, but like, that's easy. Like, okay.
Hezzy, in and out, whatever you want.
All right, fam.
Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenay Igumike. And Chenay, I can look in the studio right now. You are not here, but I can see the nerves starting to mount up as they're writing these checks right now. So I'll ask you, who should be more nervous, Devin and Cliff, at the prospect of playing you and Monica McNutt playing in heels with your offhand, or Laker Nation coming off of the trade deadline without having made any moves, watching the rest of the Western
Conference? Easily, Devin and Cliff should be absolutely more nervous because, I mean, I've won championships before. I mean, not professionally yet, but like I've won multiple championships, and I need to work on my left, and you guys would make great practice, right? But the Lakers, let's talk about the Lakers, because the Lakers are coming off of a championship. There's no pressure there, right? I mean, unfortunately, Devin Cliff, I don't know if you guys like how far your little league or whatever that case was for you guys, but you know, when you think about these Lakers, I know a lot of people are concerned because without LeBron James, without Anthony Davis, they're probably gonna slide. They're gonna slide down the standings. They're gonna lose games that you'd hope that a supporting cast that has just won a championship would win. But like, the reality is, we knew that the Lakers' success was predicated on LeBron James and AD doing their thing. So without them, it's going to be a challenge. So I'm not nervous just because we just won a championship, and I'm speaking if I'm a part of Lakers fandom. The only thing that I guess gives me a little bit pause is how much time does LeBron James need to get back, right? We've heard a month, and he gets back in a month. Hopefully everything is great. What about Anthony Davis and putting those pieces back? The good thing that they have is that championship chemistry from last season. Like, at least they know that, because other teams like the Brooklyn Nets, they're still trying to figure themselves out. The Philadelphia 76ers have a star in Joel Embiid that still needs to get that ring, you know, after a couple of years of getting closer and closer in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So if I'm the Lakers, I'm not nervous because I just won a championship, but still, there are going to be apprehensions because a number of stars in the NBA, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden most recently, Joel Embiid, Giannis missed the game, Jason Tatum finally is back, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. This is why this year is wide open, Junior, because you never know how that lack of players being out there right now is going to affect chemistry runs this year in the postseason.
Chinee, if I were to make all things equal then, coming back from injury, you would say, all right, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, everyone's going to come back, and you're not going to have to worry about the risk of re-injury. And they all come back at the same time, right as the playoffs start in that spot. Are you then saying the Lakers get the benefit of the doubt in the way Brooklyn does it just because they've got that past history of chemistry?
So two things work to each group's favor. For the Lakers, the benefit of the doubt means they know exactly what works offensively, defensively, scheming, going up against teams in order to win a championship. They have that peace of mind knowing that they know what their team is capable of and what to do on a night-to-night basis. For Brooklyn, they may not have that chemistry, but my goodness, they have the firepower. So as long as enough players are out there, Kevin Durant most notably come late in games, James Harden, who you know will probably be there because he shows up no matter where he is, Kyrie Irving in full, you know, Blake Griffin, if he's playing to his all-star potential, that upside, that ceiling is greater than the Lakers' ceiling, but the difference is they have to piece it all together in one season with limited time. The difference between the Brooklyn Nets and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is you got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going every game. You know who's going to show up and they're going to try to figure things out. You saw the highs and you saw the lows. This Brooklyn Nets team has not had that stability, which makes it a question mark. But my goodness, their ceiling is so high that if they're actually all out there, maybe it doesn't even matter.
So the Lakers. But you know what? You make a great point about Tampa Bay because you're right. Health was their biggest weapon throughout the course of the season as they now become, I believe, the first team to bring back all 22 starters from their Super Bowl winning roster.
Leonard Fournette, right, today?
Yes. Leonard Fournette was the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle. Good
Lord. Maybe have every championship parade on a boat because clearly those guys love each other.
It's the vibes. I'm telling you. We have not paid enough attention to vibes, and that maybe would work in favor of the Brooklyn Nets. Big vibes team.
No, those vibes over there are weird. Weird vibes in Brooklyn.
Strange energy over there in Brooklyn. Even stranger energy inside of the Indianapolis NCAA men's tournament bubble right now. Double-digit seeds all got a big-time shot going into the weekend. At ESPN Radio, check out on Twitter. We got a poll right now asking you which double-digit seed is more likely to make it on through this weekend, through this Sweet 16 round of the tournament. But coming up next, we'll ask that very same question to our college basketball analyst, Jordan Cornette, and see what kind of action he's looking at this weekend. We'll do that after this word from Dollar Shave Club. Now, you got so many razors. So many. How are you supposed to choose? Dollar Shave Club has a premium 6-blade cartridge designed for daily shavers and a 4-blade cartridge for less frequent shavers. More space between the blades, better for longer hairs. I just learned that because of Dollar Shave Club. I learned something today. They put both of those blades, by the way, in one new starter box so you can test drive both. If only it was that easy to choose your bracket every March, then mine wouldn't have been ruined in the first weekend by Ohio State. At least when it comes to razors, they got you. For more info, visit dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. That's dollarshaveclub.com/gojo, and check out DSC at your nearest store. You got questions, we got answers. Welcome to the club. Who's getting into the Elite Eight next on Chinee Angola Jr.?
Chinee Angola Jr., the podcast.
Chinee Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike, and we're hyped. We got the Sweet 16 coming out in the men's and women's tournament this weekend. March Madness rolls along, and so who better to come help us break it all down than Jordan Cornette, our great ESPN college basketball analyst, killing it over at the ACC Network, and has been kind enough to let his wife come and hang out with us when Chinee has had to go conquer the world. Shay Cornette, who's been sitting in with us here plenty. And you guys are in the home stretch right now, Jordan. You guys are expecting
fourth
a baby
quarter.
Any day right now, right?
Fourth quarter, just like Chinee said. Gojo Chinee, it's great to be with my people on a sunny Friday, 70 degrees outside. And yes, we're like any day now. And my wife, as we, Gojo, know very well, working closely alongside some impressive women, they are the superior group. My wife is literally due any day, and she's out here crushing it, covering every sport, filling in for the great Chinee on your guys' show. And you guys have figured it out. Like, why have Jordan on the show when Shea can come in and fill in? So I've realized my backseat role, and I'm totally okay with that.
You and me both, brother. Listen, I've realized where I am in the pecking order on this show, and the sooner we do that, the better life is for
everybody.
What's
the name of the show again? What's the name of the show? It's not Golic and Janae. It's not, right?
Jordan, no lie. I was on Highly Questionable the other day, and as we're signing off, Bomani Jones says you can check out Mike Golic Jr. as part of Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. His name comes second for obvious reasons. And I said, no lies detected.
Y'all are wilded.
Real talk.
Look what happens when y'all get a little bit of sun.
Yep. Don't know how to act. We cannot act right out here. But you know what? This kind of pandemonium has been par for the course, Jordan, because we talked to you on this show going into the NCAA tournament. And because of you, I picked Illinois. And, of course, they're the one seed that is no longer standing right now. We've got four double-digit seeds heading into the weekend with a shot, Jordan. How are you feeling about some of these Cinderellas actually going and pulling it off this week in the Sweet 16?
Well, now that you set the tone that I have no idea what I'm talking about, which is totally fair. I mean, come on, who saw Illinois going down? That team was the best team in the country down the stretch. Yeah, it's madness. And what I will take full blame for is I didn't put the proper amount of respect on a team that I delivered the flowers to all season long in Loyola Chicago. And what Coach Porter Moser's done there, I said throughout the season, this team is more talented than his 2018 Final Four team, which was no fluke to get to that Final Four. They were an incredibly connected, offensively gifted group, fundamentally sound, well-coached bunch. They've got better athletes now. They've got better guys off the bounce. Cameron Krutwig is now a senior as opposed to the underclassman he was in that Final Four run those three seasons back. He's a freshman. Now you can play through that guy, and Loyola was the dominant team against Illinois in that game. And so when Jay Billis, who leads the torch on the men's side as an analyst, reseeds his group of 16, well, everybody followed suit. And when I regrouped and ranked my Sweet 16 pairings, I had Loyola as the fourth best team still left in this thing. I'm that big a believer in them coming out of the Midwest. And I'm going to go so far as to say they do come out of the Midwest and go to the Final Four.
Oh, snap. You heard it here first. And you talked about regrouping teams. Jordan Cornette, ACC Network analyst, college hoops analyst here with us on Janae and Golic Jr. You talked about regrouping teams. How about players and the ranks of the remaining players in the NCAA tournament? Who probably gives you the most excitement so far from what you've seen?
I had a chance, Janae, in the first four games and in the first round of the tournament to do some radio down there in the bubble in Indianapolis. And I had a chance to watch Oral Roberts. And Travis is going to hate me for this one because he's obviously a big Ohio State guy. I saw Oral Roberts handle business against Ohio State, and the reason they did so is because they got a legit Batman and Robin thing going on there. Max Asemus, he's listed at 6'1". He's the nation's leading scorer. I promise you, dude standing on a step stool is 5'9". But he gets buckets in the gym range, fearless, lightning bug, quick off the bounce, can finish over size. But the Robin is what really makes him go. Kevin O'Banner at 6'8". He can step out. He's a tough matchup. He can make a big guy dance on the perimeter. He can take a smallish guard down low and bully him. And he's great on the pick and pop. These guys hoist a lot of threes. They average making 11 of them per game. It's the nation's best. The three-point line is a great equalizer in the game. So I'm just curious to go watch Asemus and O'Banner go back out there and see if that momentum carries over. They're combining for almost 60 a game in this tournament. What's more fun to watch than two dudes fill it up?
Jordan, to that end, that's going to be an exciting matchup, but I want you to let me know if this statement is fair, that what we're getting ready to see in the women's tournament, 1 o'clock Eastern this weekend, Iowa versus UConn with Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, is that the best matchup of the tournament so far? Because I'm looking at this from the outsider as like a fan and a layperson saying of the tournament so far in March Madness, this looks like the best star power matchup to me.
And before you answer that, Jordan, I wanted to say you did mention Big Ten, Iowa being represented this late in this, you know, tournament. You said beast, and like in true on-brand fashion, like all offense, Big Ten, but continue.
Yeah, which is true. Like, no disrespect to the programs. We know what UConn is. We know what I was trying to build here. But this is definitely Paige versus Caitlin. And this is what the NBA is, right? This is what the WNBA is. We try to build stars and pair them against each other to generate the entry. Sometimes it's not about team. And I hate to be that person. I want to watch two young women, as I've been told from pros, that these two are pros right now. I want to watch them go at it. I want to watch two players who are so skilled at their craft that say, hey, I know we got good teams, but this is us versus each other in a sense. And it's going to have that top billing, and it's so great for the game. And I love that this universe we're swimming in right now where people realize, hey, why haven't we been paying attention to this incredible product? Hey, Chiney, didn't the WNBA go through this last year where people were like, oh, yeah, maybe we should watch the WNBA. It is a good product. What have we been doing? It's just put it on the proper display and watch people come. And a matchup like this for this weekend is incredible. I don't know how much food I'm going to consume while I watch these games on both sides this weekend. I'm juiced.
I love it. And it's on ABC. We got that rightful upgrade. And clearly what you just told me, Jordan Cornette, is that Stanford is going to win it on the women's side. So my question is, who's going to win it on the men's side?
Okay, well, I know Gojo's sitting here listening to, and saying, whatever Cornette says, make sure I fade the heck out of it because Duke gave me Illinois and busted my bracket up. But I do think there is still some chalk involved. And so it'd probably be a natural reaction to go, really, chalk still? You could see on the women's side there's more chalk. On the men's side, it's been anything but. But Baylor has looked the part. Gonzaga has looked the part. And for as frenzied and as chaotic as the men's side has been, I still think those two one seeds are going to do their part, and it's going to still be a chalky final game in Gonzaga versus Baylor. I've said this all along. I felt Baylor on their best days better than Gonzaga on their best. I thought Michigan on their best days better than Gonzaga on their best. No Isaiah Livers for Michigan. They won't get that opportunity. Baylor versus Gonzaga, and give me Baylor.
All right, there we go. Listen, Jordan, I'm not going to hold it against you because I decided to cheat off your test and then they changed the answers on us, all right? I'm not going to hold that against you in this spot right now. So very excited to have you back around here, Jordan. Yes. Very excited to go out and be like you tomorrow and enjoy the sunshine, eat a ton of food, watching some of this great college basketball.
Oh,
we'll catch up with you real soon, man. Best of luck. Hope everything goes well at home for you, all right, buddy? We'll talk to you soon.
Go, Joe. Chiney, I love you guys. It's so good to be on with you. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the hoops.
Love you too, family.
The best there is, Jordan Cornette, our great ACC Network basketball analyst.
Friday energy.
I'm telling you, man. Chiney, you see, like, you come into this show glowing all the time. You're our hype woman during the breaks on all of this because you're out in Southern California in part and because of your great personality. But that sunshine is doing wonders for the Connecticut end of this show, I can assure you.
Well, congratulations. You finally made it through winter, and it's April. Almost.
Don't worry. We got another snowstorm coming before we get to May. The real ones know. But coming up next, if the storm's coming here, what the hell's happening in Texas right now? Some news and some rumors out of the Longhorn State that could be, as we have said time and time again around the show, a very bad John. We'll get to that next after this word from Body Armor.
Here we go, Chiney the Stallion on deck. And let Body Armor Lite help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Lite is a low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It has no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. And it comes in delicious flavors like peach mango, tropical coconut, and our favorite, strawberry lemonade. It's great for everything. Body Armor Lite helping keep you hydrated during your workouts and your busy day. From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product and earn $10 in fitness cash to select fitness retailers nationwide. Guess what? You can learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Now, we are going down to my home state because something is going down when it comes to one of the best coaches in the land. We'll get to that right after this. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Happy Friday, y'all, on ESPN+.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Back to do the Miami Heat thing again? Is that going to be a real thing?
Yep, it is.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The Heat may be back on the stove. We'll find out in about 10 minutes, as Chiney Agumake is often one to say on here. We still have not figured out the origin story. For whatever reason, whenever things get spicy, Chiney, we always go back to this bit of sound where she says, the heat is on the stove, and you don't even know what that means.
I have no clue what made me say that. Honestly, I told you when we started this show, I forget that we're actually on national air, and so I'm just talking, and the heat is on the stove. And we're talking today about the Miami Heat, which also should just be named Team Nigeria because now they have six players with Nigerian heritage. We'll get to that later.
Chiney, yeah.
Hey!
We will indeed get to
Usman.
That.
Usman! Oh, wait, sorry. One more second. That was the lovely voice of Kamaru Usman. And also we have another African that is pursuing excellence this weekend in UFC 260, Francis Ngannou, which I believe is from Cameroon. Continue.
There we go. We got it all in there right now. We are still beefing with Ariel Helwani and Daniel Cormier, who hosted last night from 9 to 11 on ESPN
beefing
Radio.
Beefing with Ariel, not Daniel.
Yeah, no, we obviously not with Daniel, not in any meaningful way. To re-update everyone, though, around here, because we did have big news out of the NFL today. Big trades going on involving the Miami Dolphins, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the 49ers. San Fran trades up with the Miami Dolphins. They get the Dolphins' third overall pick this year. The Dolphins, in return, receive the 12th pick this year, as well as a 2022 third rounder, a 2022 first, and a 2023 first. Then they went and took that 12th pick and swapped it with the Eagles. They traded up to the Eagles' sixth pick, and so now Philadelphia gets the 12th pick in the draft this year, a 2022 first-round pick, the Dolphins' own pick, as well as a 2021 pick in the later rounds in there that they swapped with the Dolphins. So we'll get to plenty more of that news later on, Janae. It is a mouthful, but essentially San Fran at 3, the Dolphins now at 6, and the Eagles at 12 in the 2021 draft.
It was so cute at the start of our show when you tried to explain this to me. I was like, Spark notes this. Spark notes it.
Spark notes this, please, and help us out. So we will take a breath and assess that situation coming up here very shortly. But first, we got to get to something.
Texas is back, folks.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if they could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And Janae, I play that iconic sound of Joe Tessitore losing his mind.
Texas is back.
Back in 2016, that was the Notre Dame-Texas game, was it not? Yes, where I famously shattered a hotel remote watching Notre Dame lose in overtime as Texas was then back. And, Janae, whether it is football and the changes we've seen made there, or now this, the reports coming out today that Shaka Smart, who had been Texas's head basketball coach, was reportedly having conversations with Marquette about leaving for that job. Janae, how surprised are you in your home state, the Lone Star State, that a school like Texas might have this visual on its resume here soon?
Look, when I saw Shaka Smart, Coach Smart, grow his hair out, I was like, oh, he's stepping into his own space. That was a sign for me. I was like, oh, okay. This guy is probably having that as a signal of like, look, we have to own this moment. And there's been so much pressure on him and the UT program. And we know this is largely because of their boosters and their alumni and how many hands are involved, you know, in trying to dictate success, which actually hurts them. And this year, I think a lot of people focus on them losing to, I believe, Abilene Christian, right?
Yep.
In the first round in the NCAA tournament. They focus on that, not that they actually just won a Big 12 championship. And even though that they had that win, it's like, well, is it worth it if you lose? Like, this is a hard year for all teams. We've seen a crazy number of upsets in the men's NCAA tournament. And so I am not surprised that the pressures that be in my home state of Texas tend to conspire in a way that makes great, talented players and or coaches feel like, man, do I need to be here? And so I'm not surprised that he is in talks with Marquette, because I believe he's a Wisconsin native.
Yep.
And so this is a premier program. And if he's able to go home, why not? Because the pressures to succeed are so hard at the University of Texas. And, you know, if you feel like you've given your best shot and it's not getting you where you need to go, plus all that situation, why not leave?
He has, in his 6 years at Texas, been above 500 in his record, 5 of the 6 seasons. He's made the NCAA tournament in 3 out of those 6 seasons. And, Janae, you're right. We saw this on the football side, where Texas tends to make a lot of these problems themselves. This entire obsession with the alumni base, the big-time donors over the eyes of Texas and the song, the things and the ways that transpire with the football team. Like, eventually, if you are making this much noise constantly, you're going to make it very difficult for these programs to have any kind of success in this spot. And I can already hear it, Janae, people saying, well, maybe it was made clear to him that he wouldn't be brought back or something like that. If you're Texas and Shaka Smart has this already coming out, you're already taking the visual L. You're already taking what we always call it, the optics. You're already taking the L in that spot. Like, for years, Notre Dame never fired a coach. They always resigned in there. That was always a part of what happened. This is an entirely different situation, and one that has a fair amount of egg, I think, on Texas's face if it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a lot of tough decisions within that athletic department to try to get everything back on track, especially with leadership, so it can be consistent.
Consistency would be nice here, so we can one day get back to
Texas is back, folks.
It'll never get old, ever. Joe Tess is a gift to all of us. But coming up next, the Heat may have won the trade deadline, but can they actually win the East? next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
On the stove.